Province, USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command performance presented this week and every week till you're back from over there. Hi again, here comes another half hour of solid super duper as per your request to command performance, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Well, fellas, we know how you men in the service like stuff straight from the shoulder. You like the truth. No lies. No exaggerations. Well, Command Performance has gone out and found a man who never tells a lie, never exaggerates, and is as honest as the day is long. His name is Bertram D. Gulch, but he'd make an awful dull MC. So we bring you instead the biggest prevaricator west of the Mississippi, Frank Morgan.
Governor, I resent that introduction bitterly.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, Frank. In fact, we all want to thank you for coming here tonight.
You do?
Yes, it's a wonderful gesture on the part of a great man.
Well, that's quite all right, Ken. I'd do anything for the boys. Yeah. Say, is it true that Mal Maxwell is here tonight?
Yes, sir. It's a marvelous thing. A man of your caliber give up so much to entertain the service, man.
Oh, well, I'd do anything anytime. I don't say that for the boy. Say, where's beautiful, gorgeous Marilyn Maxwell?
How many realize the many sacrifices, the unflinching efforts this great American has performed in bringing you his superb talent?
Oh, shut up. Where's Marilyn Maxwell?
And Frank, don't think the men are unappreciative of your noble efforts in their behalf. Why, Command Performance has received 400 letters asking for you to appear here tonight, and only one letter for Marilyn Maxwell.
I wrote that letter for Marilyn Maxwell, and if she doesn't show up in the next 5 seconds, I'm going right home. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Frank.
Goodbye, Frank.
Goodbye.
One letter?
Well, no, Marilyn. Frank twisted my arm to make me say it. As a matter of fact, you received many more letters than Frank.
Oh, she did, huh?
Yes.
Confound it. What do these little shavers see in a woman? After all, what have I got that Marilyn Maxwell hasn't got?
Now, wait a minute, Frank. Wait. It's what has Marilyn Maxwell got that you haven't got? You got it backwards.
Well, whatever it is, I know one thing Marilyn Maxwell has, a beautiful voice. And she's now going to give it out with as she sings. Jeepers creepers.
Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those jeepers? Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those eyes? Gosh, don't get up. How'd they get so lit up? Gosh, oh, get up. How'd they get that size? Golly gee. When you turn those heaters on, woe is me. Got to put my heaters on. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those jeepers? Oh, those weepers, how they hit my ties. Where'd you get those eyes? Cheaters on. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get
Thank you, Marilyn. Ah, Kenny lad. Look at that, Marilyn. That's one Maxwell that's really got a house. I might add, furnished, too.
Yeah, she has a lovely figure. I wonder if she diets.
Well, please, Ken. A girl like Marilyn Maxwell doesn't have to diet.
No.
Her figure is, as we say in French, je ne sais quoi, pas de deux à la fenêtre, comme si comme ça.
Si comme ça. What does that all mean, Frank?
Hubba, hubba, hubba. And, Ken, you're talking to the one man who knows about diet.
Oh, you do,
Dr. Frank Morgan, for years consulting assistant to those great doctors, Waterhouse, Waterman, Waterfall, and 7-Up.
Dr. 7-Up?
Yes. Dr. Pepper, who's out on a case.
Frank. Frank, you're not going to ask me to believe you were once a doctor.
One of the finest, my boy. You should have seen my shingle.
You got one.
Dr. Frank Morgan, M.D., D.D.S., Ph.D., and C.C.C.
What's that C.C.C.C.?
Chickory, chick, shit, out, shut out!
Wait, Frank, I don't believe you, and I'm not interested in what you're saying.
Arouse your curiosity. Ah, in that case, you'll undoubtedly be interested in my most outstanding achievement. It was during this period that I was devoting myself solely to research of stupendous import.
Oh, you were, huh?
After working many months behind locked doors in my laboratory, I was at last rewarded by success. And I'll never forget when my assistant called breathlessly to me.
Oh, Dr. Morgan, we've done it.
Yes, Medley, at last we split the atom.
I know, Doctor. I know.
Don't you understand? We split the atom in half. Why are you crying?
Your half is bigger than mine.
Two of my research achievements that gained me my... Two of my research achievements had gained me much fame, and it was then that my famous cousin, Dr. Sulphur Morgan, urged me to go into private practice. In fact, I was so successful that at any hour, day or night, you would find my offices overflowing with people. I recall in one particular one patient who came to me and said...
Dr. Morgan, when I first came to you, all I had was a hangnail. Now, after 20 years of your treatment, all my teeth are gone, my skin is shriveled up, and I'm covered with red and green dots and only weigh 22 pounds.
Get out! How can I help you if you don't have faith in me?
But I'm 109 years old, and three generations of Morgans have doctored me.
Yes, and you never paid any of them. When am I going to get my money?
You should live so long.
Flying into a rage and hiding his last piece of bubble gum, I turned to my next patient, a most unusual case. A mother and her little boy entered my office and she pleaded...
Doctor, can you help me?
Yes.
Every day for the past year, my little boy has been swallowing nickels.
Swallowing nickels, eh? Walk over here, lad.
Coming, doctor.
Hand me a 5-cent piece, madam. Thank you. Now, open your mouth, little boy. Playing back my winnings. I turned and headed for the laboratory, but before I had taken a step, I received an urgent phone call from the famous opera singer, Sam Paul Henry, a distant relative of John Charles Thomas. Realizing there was no time to lose, I jumped in my car and headed for his home. Let's see. This is the neighborhood. There's the drugstore on 90th Street. Barbershop is on 91st Street. Right there. has the house on 92nd Street. Finally arriving at the great singer's house, I hurried to his bedside and bending close, I could hear him murmur,
"Doctor, I've got to sing tonight. My voice is gone. Can you help me?"
"Your worries are over, my man. Morgan has never failed. I'll just spray your throat."
"Okay, Doc."
"There. Now, how do you feel?"
"Much better, thank you."
Giving him a letter of introduction to the St. Brendan's Boys Choir, I immediately made my way to the hospital, where, upon arriving, I found the greatest medical men in the country grouped around a patient who was lying on a couch. They had been trying for hours to diagnose his ailment. Then I looked down on him and saw he was emaciated, his pulse barely audible, bloodshot eyes indicating a temperature of 104. Perspiration poured from his writhing body. Turning to the medical men dramatically, I said, "Gentlemen, this man is sick." Disregarding the fact that he had no appointment, I decided to operate. After dressing my nurse... After dressing, my nurse rushed in.
Ready, Doctor?
Going into the surgical hall, my footsteps carried me past the long rows of glistening, paralyzed instruments, and I looked up at the sea of tense faces gazing at me from the amphitheater gallery. Taking my scalpel between my long, sinewy fingers, I was about to begin when a voice from the gallery said in a hushed, guarded tone,
"Get your programs here!" "The name and ailment of each and every victim, also post position, odds and great scratches."
Feverishly, I set to the task at hand, and after 1 hour of the most intricate surgery, I was finished. Looking down at the man as he came out of the anesthetic, I said, "My boy, I've removed your epiglottis, your tonsils, and your adenoids, and your appendix. How do you feel?"
"Fine, but I just come in here to read the meter."
Handing him a match and wheeling him down to the basement, I chanced to observe that my pretty nurse was staring at me, and as I turned, she said,
"Dr. Morgan, you've been working too hard.
I think...
Why don't you relax?"
"You're quite right. How about just the two of us going out on a date tonight, huh?"
"But, Doctor, what could we do out on a date all alone?"
"Caldonia!" "What could we do on a date? What makes your big head so hard?" Taking it to Barney's Beanery and striding over to the bar, I felt strangely out of place. But I little realized that I was about to be confronted with the most amazing case of my career. Casually, a voice from the next stool said,
"Dr. Morgan."
"Yes?"
"You probably saw my picture in Life magazine. I'm the man who owns the Headless Chicken."
"Yes, I read about it."
"Well, I have it right here. And I was hoping that a man with your scientific background could do something for it."
"Well, I certainly can. Give me that Headless Chicken."
"Here you are, sir."
"Oh, bartender!
What can I do for you?"
"Put a head on this!"
Performance goes a bit classical in presenting a fine concert pianist. You've heard her overseas and asked for more. Here at home, she's been widely acclaimed for her concerts with her brother, Jose Torbe. The band performance answers your request for Amparo y Torbe.
Pardon me, Ken, but I think it only fitting that another great piano player should introduce Mr. Turvey. Meaning of cheer, myself, Frank Morgan, master of the keyboard. Yes, and also the keyhole. Well, but seriously, folks, it really gives me great pleasure to introduce a great pianist, Amparo Turvey, playing... Shades went down and I put my spyglass away for the evening. I sat down and perused the command performance mail. I found there was a preponderance of mail requesting one of your favorite radio stars. It is my pleasure to work with her, and it's your pleasure to listen to her now. The one and only Fanny Bryce's Baby Snooks and Hanley Stafford as her daddy. Now, be quiet. I don't want any trouble with you today. I get one Saturday afternoon off, and your mother makes me take you to see some kid's picture.
Who's the kid?
I don't even know the name of the thing. What place?
Or Else.
Or Else? Now, that couldn't be a movie title.
Well, Mommy said you're going to take me to see that picture, Or Else.
Well, believe me, I'd have told her a thing or two if I didn't want to play poker tonight.
Here's a movie house, Daddy.
The Catman's Revenge.
It's very spooky.
Yeah, I can imagine. Come on. Oh, two, please. One child.
Is that the child?
Well, what do you think she is, my grandmother?
How old are you, little lady?
Me?
Yes, you.
Whatever my daddy says.
Snooks, the man wants to know how old you are. Tell him.
Is 5 too much?
Sorry, bud. 50 cents each.
Okay. Here's your dollar.
Well, let go of it.
Peasant. Come on, Snooks. Oh, now listen. Before we go in, are you sure?
Yes, Dad.
You were positive?
Uh-huh.
All right. Catman's revenge, here we come. Gosh, it's dark in here. Do you see any seats, Snooks?
There's two.
Okay, slide right in the room.
All right.
And don't forget to say, pardon me, as you go past the people. Mm-hmm.
Oh, pardon me.
Pardon me.
Oh, my corn.
Pardon me.
Oh, my corn.
Pardon me.
Daddy, can I sit on your lap?
No.
Do you want to sit on my lap?
Certainly not.
Well, we better go back, because there's only one seat here.
Oh, fine. Come on. Pardon me.
Pardon me.
Oh, my corn.
Oh, pardon me.
Why don't you look for... Oh, my corn.
Pardon me.
Pardon me.
Pardon me. Pardon me. Pardon me.
All right, you can stop now.
Oh.
Standing in the aisle.
Oh, pardon me.
Come on. There's two seats right here. Now sit down and behave yourself. This picture better be good.
It is.
How do you know?
Because I seen it twice yesterday.
Oh, you did. Well, why didn't you tell me outside?
It wasn't playing outside.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Take me to the place you took me last week.
What place was that?
The place with all the green tables. Well, ain't you coming, Daddy?
Wait a minute. Look what's happening to that man in the picture. Good heavens. There's fangs growing out of his mouth.
Yeah, he's turning into a cat. Are you coming, Daddy?
Sit down a minute, Snooks. Let's see what happens.
He gets killed.
Well, don't tell me. For heaven's sake, I'd like to enjoy it.
Well, he comes to life again.
Snooks.
He comes back as a cat.
Oh. Reincarnation, eh?
Excuse me, bud. Is the dialogue on the screen interfering with your conversation?
Pardon me.
Daddy.
What is it?
What's reincarnation?
I'll tell you later.
Is it a flower?
Yes, keep quiet.
Do flowers turn into cats?
No.
What about a piece of willow?
Listen, Snook. If I tell you what reincarnation is, will you stop pestering me?
Uh-huh.
Well, reincarnation is when you come back to life as something else. Some kind of animal.
Daddy.
What?
Could I come back as a horse?
A horse?
Yeah.
Why should you want to come back as a horse?
So I could swat flies with my tail.
Very funny.
Daddy.
Quiet. Shh.
What do you want to come back as?
A bachelor. Now, Snooks, will you please keep quiet and let me watch the picture?
All right.
Oh. Oh. Oh! Look out, he's right behind you.
Don't worry, Daddy. This is where we get shot. See, I told you.
Snooks, please.
But he ain't dead yet.
Listen, bud, I come to these horror pictures to get scared. If your kid tips the picture, I don't get scared, see?
I'll see that she doesn't disturb you anymore.
You'd better.
You see that, Snooks? The man's getting mad. Just because you've seen the picture before is no reason to disturb everyone around you.
The picture's different today.
What do you mean it's different?
There wasn't any birds in it yesterday.
Bird? Where do you see a bird?
Right in the middle of the screen.
What are you talking about? Oh, that bird is on the woman's hat in front of you.
Tell her to take it off. Hold on, tell her to take it off.
Oh, all right. Excuse me, madam.
No.
All right, keep it on. It's weirder than the picture.
Let's tell him again.
And you keep quiet.
And the same goes for you, Bud.
See that, Snooks? The man's getting madder and madder. Snooks, where are you?
Here I am, Daddy.
What are you doing crawling around on the floor?
I dropped my gum under the sheet.
Gum? I didn't buy you any gum. Where did you get it?
Under the sheet.
Well, come up here and sit down. What have you got in your hand?
A shoe.
A shoe? Snooks, that shoe belongs to some lady. Crawl down there and put it back.
All right.
Snooks!
Here I am, Daddy.
What happened?
He was ticklish.
For the last time, Bud, will you keep that brat quiet? I paid 50 cents to enjoy the Catman's revenge, and I want to enjoy it without anyone telling me what's going to happen.
He'll enjoy it now, Daddy.
You mean you're going to keep quiet?
No, this is where the Catman gets his revenge.
Please!
The Catman shoots the hero. The hero shoots the Catman. He's where the cops come. They break the door down. Everybody shoots everybody. They all get killed. The end, that's all.
No, it isn't. There's one more thing.
What?
This.
That writes the last line in this 30-minute letter of ours in answer to those thousands of yours. All of us, Miss Bryce, Marilyn Maxwell, Hanley Stafford, Amparo Iturbe, Ken Carpenter, and myself send you our own best wishes and thanks for the part you played in bringing us victory. Your job defeated our common enemy, and that can't be forgotten. And we can't forget the obligation we have to the world, an obligation to make this peace a lasting one. While you're over there doing our part of the job, drop us a note anytime you feel like it. We're happy to respond in the best way we know, with music and laughs and a cheery greeting on Command Performance USA. This is Frank Morgan. Good night.
Radio service.